Blog Talk Radio. Well, hello everybody and welcome to Monday, 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time for our show, Keeping It Brief, where we dive into your brevities, the art of saying so much in so little words, such powerfulness in words there can be. And we have so much stuff on the board. Oh my gracious, so much beautiful, beautiful, beautiful poems. So yeah, I won't take up any more time, but we'll get right into it. And I'm going to want to say hi to my two wonderful co-hosts. Hi, Ed, and hi, Diane. How are you guys doing?
Hi, Naomi. How are you doing?
Doing good, Ed.
Great.
And you, Diane?
Oh, Naomi, my friend, I'm doing excellent. I couldn't be better. And if I was any better, it would be illegal or they would tax it.
And I understand Miriam is on with us. Hi, Miriam.
Hi.
Hello. How are you doing, my dear?
About as well as can be expected. I'm doing pretty well. Thank you.
Good. And so we all have a really great, great board of poetry. And I think the only one that's been doing his homework is Ed. Has read all the poems. Oh, honestly, I'm so sorry. I didn't have time. I didn't read. I read through them like, but I didn't comment on them. So I'll be doing that when I judge the contest. But I'm so excited for these rights tonight. So yeah, let's get right into it. Diane, what will be our first write-up? Oh, we have a couple of carryovers from the last show, which was the Cranberry song. Yeah.
Absolutely. And I'm just posting the first one here if I can get my my touch screen to work. I will post. I'm posting in Brevity Writers right now. And
okay.
I've put up the first piece. It's called Strawberry Rhubarb Pie by Stormy Falls. And Miriam, would you like to read that one for us, please?
Strawberry Rhubarb Pie. Oh my, the hot, sweet taste of Summerfield reaches to me from a wooden bowl of freshly picked strawberries lying next to rosy stems of rhubarb newly clipped from the verdant ground of our Midwest. My kitchen fills with such sweet aromas that I fairly faint from delight and hunger. But time enough to sit and savor after the work is done, for now I sift flour, cut in luscious lard, and add just enough wetness to fashion a flaky crust to cuddle the fruits. Then, over a cup of tea, amid baking fragrances, I gaze out a window and dream of gustatory delight. And
wonderful read, Miriam. Oh, I'm not sure, but didn't we have this on the last show?
Yeah, I think
yes, we did.
Well,
I was very happy
we
to read
it. Yeah, but it was a superb write. So I mean, you know, come on, we'll drift in it again. And so sorry, guys, I put that up twice, I guess. Oh my gracious! Wow, what's happening here? I have to go back and check that board out. Well, I'll Diane, you start off the comments because you weren't there last week, so this is the first read for you.
Absolutely. I was hoping I would get the comment on this one because I read it. I read it earlier, and I thought, oh, this is what a start. From the title throughout, what took me is her wordplay. That I, right when she said, rosy stems of rhubarb, newly clipped. Not just rosy stems of rhubarb, but newly clipped. I mean, the wordplay that she threw into this, just, and I hope I'm talking right. I'm hoping Stormy Falls is a female, because otherwise I'm not talking right. But this piece just filled me up. First of all, it made my taste buds just go crazy. Cut in luscious lard and add just enough wetness to fashion a flaky crust to cuddle the fruits. Nostalgic. This took me back to my mom baking when I was a kid and everything. And then over a cup of tea, and my mom loved tea. I don't know why my mom's coming out for me in this one, but just amazing. And yes, I think I'm on the right topic board.
October 16th show? Because I don't see that.
I am on the October 2nd show. behind time. Guys, I just got back from a trip, an amazing trip to Seattle, and the travel back was just, it was a challenge beyond challenges. So my head might be a little bit out of it today. So my apologies. I just brought up the right board. Thank you, Naomi, for pinging me on that. And that's it. I'm finished my comment for that one.
No problem, Diane. Well, you know, since we all commented on that poem last show, we'll just go ahead with the new topic board there. And so Diane, I think your poem is up first, isn't it?
I just noticed that. I just saw that. So I'll post that poem and I'll go ahead and read that. It is called Four Corners of the Sun. And I wrote this one based on the very first photograph
Sorry for interrupting you, Diane, but I think Katie is on with us. Are you there, Katie?
I surely am. Hi.
Oh, hello, hello. How are you? Are you back from Spain?
Yes, I am so glad to be back. I was a complete rookie for all the mosquitoes everywhere.
Yeah. Well, I hope you had an awesome, awesome trip. And glad to have you with us. Oh, my gracious. That's quite a treat. And, yeah, sorry for interrupting, Diane. You go ahead.
Hey, that's okay, my friend. To interrupt me to reach out to Weaver is perfectly okay.
Thank you.
And I will go ahead and read Four Corners of the Sun. Captured and frozen in time are the four corners of the sun, like four furry orange spider's legs, the pith radiating energy moonward, shooting onto a perfectly lined horizon. The light of her belly rests atop the ripples, waves sitting up like pupils in a schoolroom, staring fondly and breathless at their goddess. Emanating royalty, wearing a crown of garnet, she had those waves swallowing one another. In their earnest to crest at the perfect time, they danced the flaming dance of fireflies. Spanning from matriarch's cradle arms, shining in a perfectly round square, are the four corners of the sun, captured and frozen in time. End poem.
Oh, what a wonderful, you know, beautiful, beautiful poem, Diane. You know, the way you come up with these clever stunning metaphors. I don't know. Like the lightness, you know, like the four furry orange spider legs. And then you have waves spitting up like pupils in a schoolroom. Yeah, I know that one. And being a teacher. And, you know, you have the just wonderful imagery all throughout, like the dance, the flaming dance of fireflies. And I love that you personify the sun so well, you know, as a matriarchal or whatever you call it there, figure. wonderful, right? The four corners of the sun. I really, really enjoyed this so, so much. And yeah, and it's written like, you know, a woman that's pregnant. So I wonder if that was meant to be on purpose.
Yeah, it was, but not a pregnant woman.
Uh-huh.
It was.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, really neat. And Katie, what are your thoughts on this poem?
Oh, I love any metaphor that jumps around like this one, that penultimate stanza. I loved it. Emanating royalty, wearing a crown of garnets, she had those waves swallowing one another in their earnest to crest at the perfect time. They danced a flaming dance of fireflies. That's just lovely. I mean, I don't have a mind that produces pictures very easily, but I can actually see these wonderful waves dancing. Ah, great. I really enjoyed it. Thank you so much for that.
Aw, thank you.
My pleasure.
Wonderful. And I understand we have Debbie on with us. Hi, Debbie.
Hi. How's everybody tonight?
Oh, we're fine.
Wherever your part of the world is.
And did you get to hear Diane's poem?
Yes, I did. And it is just beautiful. And I don't know who it was that was speaking just before me, but she said that she couldn't imagine the pictures of dancing of fireflies. Where I live, I mean, I get to see it every night. And so this was just beautifully, beautifully done. And I don't remember who said it. The pregnant, I don't know where that would have came from, but that is exactly how this makes me feel. Like, you know, somebody's pregnant and they're emanating that. Beautifully done.
Wonderful comment,
Debbie.
And, you know, that isn't a pregnant woman. Those are breasts, right?
I wonder.
And, talking about breasts, Ed, what is your take on this poem?
I thought it was great visualization, true metaphors with nature and how everything works. I thought it was beautifully read, and I enjoyed the poem very much. The imagery was fabulous.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Wonderful, wonderful comment, Ed. And Miriam, your thoughts, my dear.
What struck me was not just the beauty and cleverness of the individual images, but that they seem to be interlocking metaphors. When I started reading it, the first thing that came to me is, if there are four corners of the earth, why shouldn't there be four corners of the sun? Just never heard of it before. I like it. It's really neat. And then the interlocking metaphors. As I read the poem, I wasn't sure whether Diane was talking about the sun itself and comparing the sun to a spider and its webs, or whether it was the other way around, that the poem is actually about the spider and its web and comparing that to the sun, And I decided, why not both? It doesn't matter. It's beautiful. I love this.
Oh, thank you, Mary.
Superb, superb, right, Diane? Amazing, amazing, right? And what will be our next right, Diane?
Oh, up next we have a right by Allie Gorey, and it's called Please Take Your Superior Being. And Ed, would you like to write, read that one for us, please?
Sure, as soon as it's up.
It's up, my friend.
It's
up in Brevity Writers. It's not up in Late Night Poets.
I'll pop it in the Late Night Poets.
Okay, I'll have to go into Brevities then. Okay.
It's in Late Night Poets.
Please Take Your Superior Being by Allie Gore. Ephemeral women don't do it for me. Smacks of the Middle Ages, Torian, simpering a thing of the past. As the ladies fight like alley cats to alleged equality. Equality has been attained and therefore all to see. But women fight at imagined slights for the latest social target. What's wanted now is automatic superiority. However, well disguised, their plan, it doesn't fool a fool like me. They can have their superiority. They can run the outside world, but they can't resist my only wish to stop and smile at me. End poem.
I really like this poem, you know, and of course it's a woman writing it, eh? And to stop and smile at, I think it's a woman writing it, yeah, Allie. But yeah, she is the same. Allie, that's the name of my granddaughter. My granddaughter's name is Allie. She's so cute, she's two. And I'm talking away here, but Diane, I'll give you first take on this poem.
Well, thank you, because this is an amazing piece, brilliantly written, and gives the message that we need to hear, that we reach out as women, and we are reaching out to what seems a superior being, when really all we want is, like she said, to stop and smile at me. And, you know, to take, and as the ladies fight like alley cats for alleged equality, equality is all we want. And to be able to voice that and see and say that, you know what, equality has been attained and there for all to see. It's just an amazing write, an amazing piece. And I'm really glad that Allie added this to our contest. Thank you so much for sharing this with us.
Oh, absolutely. Amazing comment there. Deep and profound, Diane. And Debbie, your thoughts?
Oh, goodness. Such perfect wording. They can have their superiority. They can run the outside world. And just to stop and, you know, just acknowledge, you know, the next person to the side of you, to in front of you. It doesn't take but just a second. Just stop and acknowledge that person. And so this right here is very powerful, and it's right. Beautifully done.
Well said.
Well said, Debbie. And Debbie, while I have you, are you, do you have to, can you stay for a while? Or, you know, I know you have a write on the board. I was just wondering there.
Yeah, I can stay for a little while.
Okay.
It was a late ad, and I apologize for that.
Oh, no problem.
Oh, that's all right.
No problem. And Miriam, what are your thoughts on the poem?
I was really, really worried. I was in terrific suspense until...
Absolutely, me too.
It doesn't fool a fool like me. Oh, sigh of relief. This is really great. Very clever.
Very clever, yeah. Very witty, indeed. And Katie, your thoughts, my dear.
Yes, as everyone has already said, beautifully witty, very cleverly written. It can go so many ways, this kind of poetry. If you read it correctly, it's wonderful. If you read it and take the wrong meaning from it, it can sometimes people take the wrong meaning, but I think I understand exactly what this is. I have I fought for equal pay for women. I have gone through my life being a woman in a man's world in my working life. So I have to be honest, I don't think we'll ever get true equality. That's just my opinion.
I agree.
Yeah. We have too many things against us and too many things. A woman in a man's world has to not only be good at her job. Oh, blimey. Oh.
Did we lose Katie? Hello?
I'm not sure.
What do you think, Ed, about this poem?
Well, it's basically what everyone said about women in the world and how they're bullied. They can be bullied at work, at school. They like people. Some of these men like to put down women, and I think they're getting better with employment and being treated, but it's still got a long way to go. I know from my daughter's view of being a lieutenant police officer, so she's up there now, and she doesn't take the crap, and I think that's what a lot of women have to start doing.
Uh-huh, exactly. Yeah, that's a wonderful example. I applaud her. Wow. And me too, you know, I had the same first impression as Miriam as I was reading this poem there. Whoa, where's this going there? And then, you know, at the end, it's like, okay, I get this, you know. But, yeah, I had the same reaction. But a wonderful, wonderful write by Ali Gori. And so, well done. And what is our next poem to be, Diane?
Well, up next, I have posted Sleeping Beauty by Ima Rima. And Naomi, my girl, would you like to read that one?
Okay, Sleeping Beauty. While in the meadow I did stroll, I came upon you sleeping there. Your beauty, body, mind, and soul did glow through flowers everywhere. There was a look upon your face that you were wrapped in a dream of Prince Charming from a far-off place, wakening you with kiss of love, but knowing now society scorns on unconsented to touch. I'd leave you a sleeping beauty, though wanted to kiss you so much, to wake you with a kiss did seem too forward, so just let you dream. End poem. I really like this. Miriam, what are your thoughts, my dear?
I wrote a poem on the same theme a little while ago. This one, I think, flows much better than what I wrote. It's just so beautifully written. Mine is funnier, of course. But thank you. Laughing was the right response. it's just, you know, the dream of Prince Charming and the I'd leave you a sleeping beauty that wanted to kiss you so much. It's just, I can really see the picture in my mind and the hesitation of the politically correct Prince Charming. Very good.
Absolutely. Wonderful comment, Miriam. And what did you think, Debbie, the poem?
I, where it got to, but knowing now society scorns an unconsented touch. That is very, very true. And we just got through, you know, talking about, you know, the women and what have you, as far as the other poem, that it's something that, you know, women, we fight for equality. And so there again, you know, knowing now society scorns. And I truly believe that. And this is wonderfully done, wonderfully done.
Wonderful comment. And Katie, are you still with us? Or did you drop because of some spooky dance video or something?
Oh no! My secret world has been open to everyone. I'm so sorry about that. I don't know how it suddenly started. I was getting up to dance and I thought, no, I won't do that. I'll just sit back down. Sorry.
What did you think of the poem?
Once I got over my embarrassment, I thought it was absolutely wonderful. I love that. I came upon you sleeping there. Your beauty, body, mind, and soul did glow through flowers everywhere. Very sweet. And the fact that, you know, you can't really go up to someone nowadays and just kiss them because it ain't allowed without consent. So I thought that was a beautiful touch. Yeah, very well done. Thank you.
Absolutely amazing. And and I think I'm going to limit my comments to about like 3 people per poem, so we get through most of them, if you don't mind, because we'll never get through all of them. So we'll just limit there to the comments. And what will be our next poem, Diane?
Okay, up next is Poem About Dream Puts Prime Focus on Rhyme Form by Bruded Fan Panda. And Debbie, would you mind reading that one for us?
Well, I knew you was going to do that. Poem About Dream Puts Prime Focus on Rhyme Form. Dream is divine gift. Daydream has utility. Due to determination, dream's real position. Doing duty sincerely, dream fulfilled surely. During bachelor life, dream for good wife. Definitely be fulfilled. Divine nature is need. Dazzling, daring man. Draws self-reputation due to divine quality. Definitely socially fit. Demand to wed him. Dream is prime fill. During night, effect nil. Deep sleeping position. Dream turns to be vain. Daydream is vigilantly. Dormant lack self-zeal. Dazzling bright future. Dream is prime favor in form.
Wonderful read there, Debbie. Wow. And I'm going to start off with you, Ed. What did you think of this poem?
I have a dream. Okay. This was unique. Mm-hmm. It was different. It could go different ways. It could be a good poem of what he needs, what he wants. Some of the things that he wants, I don't think a woman would want to give him. You know, the way you read it, it was done very well. It's a bachelor's dream to have a good wife. It's a demand to wed him, but dream turns to vain. Dream of a vigilante to get out. It has a few different scenarios here of this poem, and sometimes it's hard to decipher. I just picked out a couple things here, and that's what I thought about it. That things aren't like what they should be for women, but I enjoyed the poem.
Thank you so much, Ed. Yeah. The great, great comment there. And Miriam, your thoughts?
I was hoping you would call on me. I really enjoyed this. Every line has at least one word that begins with D, which is a really good, strong letter for alliteration. And the other thing I enjoyed about it, well, there's all these short lines. You've got a column here, and the lines are almost the same length, so even visually it's striking. And then the irregular rhyme scheme, there are some perfect rhymes in there, some slant rhymes, and some words that you can't find a rhyme for them. So you never know what to expect. And I found that very appealing.
Thank you, Miriam. And the last person, what about you, Katie? What did you think of the poem?
Yes, not an easy thing to accomplish, but I think this was done very well. I like the fact that it starts off with dream is divine gift, which it is, because you can have some beautiful dreams. But when you daydream, different matter, because you can direct the daydream. You can make it what you want it to be, whereas in a dream state, you have to see what's given to you. So I like that idea, that you have determination, you can then get what you want, but that dreaming of a good wife, good luck. I love it. I just love it. Yeah, so well done. So I hope you do have a dazzling, bright future. Thank you for sharing.
Amazing comments, as always, Katie. And where are we going next, Diane? Where are you taking us?
I'm taking us on a journey called Jump by Jessica C. Wheeler. And I would like to delve in and read this one.
No problem. Go ahead.
It's called Jump. The shot is long. I dare the void to prove me wrong. Not yet destroyed, yet not as strong. The wind has toyed. I'm falling for what waits for me. Do I explore? I cannot see the ocean's floor, yet can it be? The stars align, too good to see, that I should find. Beneath night's gloom, out of my mind, into a dream. From solid ground, make heard your call, spin me around. I risk it all, but what I found was worth the fall. End poem.
What powerful lines throughout this passionate piece, right? Oh, my gracious. Just amazing. And Debbie, you get first shot on this one.
I love the rhyme. All the way through, the rhyme was spot on in every one. And I'm falling for what waits me. Do I explore? I love that stanza. There's so much to that. And the whole entire piece is just wonderfully written. But that one stanza stands out for me.
Absolutely. Wonderful comment. And Diane, you read it beautifully, but you didn't comment last time. So what did you think?
Well, I thought this was an amazing piece. I there's more to this for me than what she's pulling out here. Jump. It's a risk. And like Miriam, I think it was Miriam who said, the rhyming is amazing in this. You know, it's not the usual line-by-line rhyme. She rhymes within stanza by stanza, and that technique just blew me out of the water. She put this together beautifully and put a message in there. For me, it's like I'm falling for what waits for me. Do I explore? Wondering, should I take that risk? Should I jump? Should I do it? And answering it in the same poem, from solid ground, make heard your call, spin me around. I risked it all for what I found was worth the fall. Just amazing piece. Excellent closing to it. The last stanza was probably my favorite part because it wrapped up the whole piece for me. Beautiful, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, Jessica C. Wheeler, she's a new poet to me, and but not this poem, but, I mean, I've seen her in other contests lately, and, wow, she can write. This girl can write. And, yeah, I see, and, you know, I hope to see, you know, a lot more poems, whether it's brevity or longer poems for other contests. Well, she really can write. So, bravo, Jessica C. Wheeler. And what will be our next poem, Diane?
Up next is our autumn contest, right?
Whoa, okay, good.
And I'm sorry, I'm just a little moment behind you here. Okay, here we go. Up next is Autumn by Marvin Goldfarb. Ed, would you like to read that one for us?
As soon as I get it up. It's not up yet.
Is it up?
Yeah, I think Brevity Writer.
I'm going to put it in later.
Yeah, I have to have someone send it to me so I could get it.
There it is. There it is. There it is, Ed.
Okay, hold on. Okay. Okay, Autumn by Marvin Goldfarb. Autumn is here, and the leaves began to fall. That is a good reason that they call this time of year fall. The heat of the summer has passed. Yes, summer is gone at last. And the cold winter is not yet here. That's why I'm glad the signs of fall are everywhere that we are aware. End poem.
Yeah, we're in the in-between, eh, is well shown, eh? The past, the present, the future, you know, with the summer and the winter there that's coming, the in-between, autumn is here. I just love this, right? And what did you think, Miriam, this poem?
I'd rather comment on another poem. It's just because I have a visual problem with centered poems. They give me a headache.
Okay. Okay, no problem.
It's just my own problem.
Yeah, I understand. And so Debbie, what's your take on this poem?
Where I live, which is in the heart of the United States, southern Missouri, and this right here is perfect because, I mean, trees all the way around me are already turning colors. Knowing it, the night air is a little bit brisk and, you know, I hear this, I feel this all the way around me. those beautifully, beautifully done, and that we are aware. Great point.
Uh-huh. Awesome comment there, Debbie. And Katie, your thoughts, my dear.
Oh, I love that particular season. I love autumn. I think it's a kind of a slow transition from the heat of summer towards winter, which is, well, now I've said it, very obvious. Sorry. But I love that transition. I love the colors. I love the trees and the beautiful leaves. So, yes, always very fond of autumn, and I think this poem tells it all so well, all the good things about it. So thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. And, well, let's move on to our next poem. What are we reading next, Diane?
Up next is Autumn Spring by A.R. Mundell. And Miriam, could you get that one a read?
Autumn Spring. Ruby petals stain the lane and pepper tallest trees. Blossoms fill the branches, still wet with raindrop sheen. Veiny flowers frolic free to fall upon their rest. Coral corollas cling to life on wooden russet stems. Auburns mix with mustard gold and blooms of tawny hues. The bottom of the rainbow, rebirth to life anew.
Absolutely beautiful. Absolutely beautiful read, Miriam. And, you know, every time I see A.R. Mundell, Amy, I know that I'm in for a treat. I don't know about you guys, but, and, you know, she does, you know, wonderful from her imagery to her metaphors to everything in this poem. Just beautiful. What did you think, Ed?
Oh, I thought it was beautiful. And, you know, the morning where the blossoms fill the branches still wet, raindrop sheen. I'm always in the woods. So yeah, I could see that right now in the morning of the raindrops or the dew dropping off the leaves, the flowers. And I like how she says autumn mixed with mustard gold and blooms of tawny hues. I could visualize that very well of the colors right now that's happening. And this is excellent of what it's like in Pennsylvania and all around the area that's changing right now. Beautifully done.
Yeah. Up here too. Yeah, it really is beautiful. Autumn and cold but beautiful, rainy but beautiful. And Diane, your thoughts on Amy's poem?
Well, Amy did it again, an awesome piece, Autumn Spring. Her alliteration throughout is really breathtaking. Veiny flowers frolic free to fall upon their rest. Coral corollas cling to life. Like, her alliteration just brings out the color, brings out the imagery, brings out the metaphor. Just beautifully written. Very well done. Thank you, Amy.
Absolutely. And last comment from you, Debbie?
Oh, goodness. He's going to do that to me. The imagery here, you can see, you could, you know, like Ed said a while ago, the dewdrops falling off the trees and the mustard gold and the tawny hues, you know, it is just so perfect for this time of year. It's a great poem.
Absolutely. Wonderfully said there, Debbie. And what will be our next poem, Diane?
Well, next up, Naomi, is a piece by our Miriam, and I'm wondering if we can all get to comment on this one.
Well, of course.
All righty. Sure. So it's posted, and I'm going to ask Miriam to read her poem called October 2022.
Just 1 second here while I get it. There it is. October 2022. October colors feature turning leaves. Bright green fades to yellow, surges to glowing embers in the mist, dies to yellow brown, crumples to dry, crunchy gray. The canopy falls. The carpet rises. Death whispers, life will come again.
Absolutely beautiful. Oh, my gracious, I could just, you know, recite this whole thing all over again. It's so beautiful. Yeah. October's colors feature turning leaves, bright green fades to yellow. The way he incorporated all the colors in there, just wonderful. And I just love, you know, the canopy falls, the carpet rises, death whispers, life will come again. Yeah, so true. You know, everything, you know, they say, there was this saying I came across on the computer the other day where, I don't know who said it, but that autumn was like nature's new spring, you know, like there was so many colors to it, but something like that anyway. But I think you capture that beautifully here. And I really love, you know, the crumples, the way you use the C sound there. The alliteration and the C sound is just awesome. You just hear the crunching of the leaves there. Just amazing, Miriam. I really like this all the way through. And Diane, your thoughts?
Oh, Miriam, this is an amazing piece. I was with you, and then I got to the last three lines, and you took me right out of it. With the canopy falls, the carpet rises, death whispers, life will come again. What a powerful ending. What you took me out of was autumn. Autumn's going and fall is coming. And you took me right into fall with the canopy fails and the carpet rises. You brought me right into fall, and it was a shift that was so easy to feel. It was like amazing how I could feel myself leaving one season and jumping into another. You really, really took your reader along on this journey, and awesome, right?
Thank you.
Amazing, amazing comment there, Diane. And Katie. What are your thoughts?
Oh dear, you always sound so surprised when you remember me. I love it.
I'm so lost
tonight, you know. It's like there's too many people.
You've got a very busy show tonight, so you're doing incredibly well. Don't even worry about it. But this, Miriam, I love this. I love the time you've taken to bring each color to us and allowing us to enjoy them with you. I thought that was wonderful. I love that last line, of course. I found it incredibly peaceful, which for me is quite an unusual feeling because I don't often feel peaceful. But when you read it, I just kind of went, ah, it's lovely. Mm. So, yeah, I really enjoyed it. Thank you. I have a Japanese Acer in my garden. And if you know about those, they have the most amazing color changes. And I've watched them change. And last year I decided that the leaves were so beautiful that I had to keep them and use them. So I dried them and I made them into a sort of a collage, a picture.
Mm.
And it looks lovely. So it just reminds me every time I see it, of how beautiful autumn can be and October can be. So thank you so much for sharing that.
Oh, that's amazing. Wonderful comment. Amazing to be. I love doing collages too. You know, I used to do them all the time with my students. And they're just amazing. And who did I ask and who didn't I ask? Oh, my gracious, I'm lost here. Ed, did I ask you?
No, not yet.
Okay. You want to comment, my dear?
Yes. This brings you into walking through the forest or the woods. And, you know, you're seeing that some of the leaves that have turned, some that are still green, some that are glowing, and then they all fall. And you're walking through the woods, and you're crunching these leaves, and it's quiet, and all you hear is your feet, you know, each step slowly. And then every once in a while, you'll hear the animals scurry about. But then at the end, she says, life will come again. That's wonderful, you know, because that's so true, you know, and it was beautifully done.
Absolutely. Wonderful comment. Wonder to a wonderful poem. Debbie, did I get to you?
No, not yet.
Okay.
I first want to say the photo is beautiful. But the most moving part of this whole entire piece was the last three lines. I mean, you had me from the beginning, but there, those last three lines just made this whole entire piece come alive. And so I really enjoyed this. Great job.
I really appreciate your comments. You've been really kind, and I have been kind of feeling this. No, I'm not sure I wrote this, and I do kind of remember working it out, but this is one of those poems where I feel a force came through me to make the poem. Mm. And I can stand in awe of it without feeling boastful.
Yeah, I understand that. Sometimes you're just like, you're overtaken by, you know, the words just pour out of you. And well, that was a wonderful, wonderful, right, Miriam? Wow. It's just amazing. And those last few sentences, I think they left their mark on everybody here tonight. So wonderfully, wonderful share for this evening. Thank you so much. Diane, where are we going next, my dear?
Well, next we are going to our lovely Weaver of Dreams, and she wrote The Arrival of Autumn. And I'm going to ask Weaver to read this for us. And
I think she has a SoundCloud.
Oh, she has a SoundCloud. Okay, is Pam on?
Yeah.
In golden
and
hills,
Naomi, I'm going to
fiery red. Trees release what once they bred. A symphony of rustling sound, as life meets death upon the ground. A gentle touch. A whispered sigh, or summer bids a swift goodbye. As the winter winds carries its voice through valleys, mountains, all rejoice. For just as seasons come and go, in spring burgeoning buds will grow. Then there's summer, as all will rise to grow and bloom beneath the skies. So autumn's whispers remind us all that after the fall, we'll still stand tall.
A beautiful right, Weaver. Oh, my gracious. Katie. I can't get used to Weaver. Oh, my gracious. It just like, it just sings on the page. You know, it just, I don't know, it just drifts softly down. And, like you say, whispers. It whispers to us, you know. It's so so amazing. A gentle touch, a whispered sigh, while summer bids a swift goodbye. As the winter wind carries its voice through valleys, mountains, all rejoice. What a wonderful rhythm and rhyme, you know, you have here. Just amazing. And Debbie, what did you think of Katie's poem?
It's beautifully done. I mean, from beginning to end. But my favorite is, so autumn whispers remind us all, after the fall, we will all stand tall. Great, great line. Great ending. I loved it.
Absolutely. Me too. Really liked that ending. And Ed, your thoughts, my dear.
The rhyming, the rhythm that when she read this was beautiful. But I agree. I like the last line. So autumn's whispers remind us all that after the fall, we'll still stand tall. That is beautiful. And it's like the end of summer, we're beginning of winter, the fall, and then the beginning of winter, and we're still standing strong. I love that. It's beautiful.
Absolutely. Wonderful lines. And Debbie, your thoughts. Did I ask you?
Sweetheart, I just gave my thoughts.
Sorry. Okay. Miriam.
Love the rhyme and meter in this one. It's expertly done, really. And the other thing I wanted to mention is that I think it's almost easy for poets to talk about visual imagery, but in this poem, there's a lot of sound in the rustling and the whispers and the winter winds, et cetera. It's just, I really enjoyed this. Good job, Katie.
Absolutely. That's a good point that you brought up there, Miriam. You know, yeah, it's you can see a lot. Well, she does have like the visuals, but also the sound. I think, you know, you touch a lot on a lot of our senses. You awaken a lot of our senses here with this poem so beautifully, Katie. So wonderfully done. And Diane, are you there?
I am here, my friend, and an amazing piece, The Arrival of Autumn. Weaver, where did you get this line? Trees release what once they bred. Where did that come from? How does that come into your mind? That just amazed me, that line. I don't know. It pulls out imagery that, you know, trees release what once they bred. And your rhyming and your meter is just impeccable. And what you did with couplets here, I don't see done often. And you give them life. You gave life to these couplets. And just amazing the way this was all put together. And not only do you give life to it, but it gives us a life. It gives the reader life. It makes us realize we can go from season to season and it's okay. It's just an amazing piece, really well written, and thank you for sharing.
Wonderfully said there. And yeah, thank you so much, Katie, for bringing that piece tonight. That was just a joy to hear that. Amazing. And Diane, where are we going next?
Next, we are going to a rite called Autumn Overcome by Way Down Upon Joy. Way Down Upon Joy. That's a new name I've never seen before.
Mm-hmm.
And
me too.
Welcome. And Naomi, my dear, would you read this for me? And can I comment last if I'm asked to comment? I have to run. I'll be right back.
Okay. Yeah, no problem, Diane. Okay, so this is Autumn Overcome by Way Down Upon Joy. Okay. It seems she slowly bares her arms so she can sense wind's breathy charms, then sheds all clothes like lovers do and leaves them lingering in view. She surely knows slow can enthrall and demonstrates that call with sprawl. End poem. That's so witty and clever. Oh, my gracious. What did you think, Ed?
Oh, it was beautifully read, and also I like the flow and the metaphors, and how she explained the slowly these trees, they're losing their leaves, so they're bearing their arms that are reaching out, and it senses the wind, and it's beautiful of how you could imagine this happening right now, today, right now, what's going on. And if it's a windy day and you could see them branches and limbs swaying and the leaves falling off and the arms, it's beautiful. Well done.
Absolutely. I like how, you know, they weave the sensuality into this. It's true that autumn, you know, like shedding their clothes like lovers do. Thought that was really, really clever. And Debbie, my friend, what did you think of the poem?
I agree, the sensuality, but with nature. And it just brings you into the life of the poem itself with a different view, I guess. You know, then sheds all clothes like lovers do. And so she brings you into this piece more with that view instead of just being a nature. And so I just generally enjoyed this piece. Beautifully done.
Oh, yeah, indeed. I agree. And Miriam, your thoughts, my dear?
Perfect rhyme, perfect meter, an extended metaphor that is just breathtaking. And none of this is a surprise to me because Joy is one of my favorite poets on the site, and I definitely encourage all of you to take a look at some of her own other poems.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, I've come across her writing before, and absolutely, she's an amazing, amazing poetess. And Katie, your thoughts?
Oh, yes, beautifully done. And again, the ability to build us a picture and a story using only 40 words. That's incredible. I know it's something that I would love to be able to do. And this is done so beautifully. It's just it's a completely different look at nature. And I love the fact that she's personified it to this extent. Then sheds all clothes like lovers do and leaves them lingering in view, which is exactly what happens. Those leaves are there for all to see until they crumble and disappear. Yeah, I thought it was wonderful. I really enjoyed it. So thank you so much for sharing.
Amazing comment there, Katie. And I see Diane. Are you back, Diane?
I certainly am. And I have posted The Season Divided by Ken Smith. And I'm going to ask Debbie if she would like to read that.
Sure. The Season Divided. Yesterday, I stepped out the front door in a tank top, shorts, and sunscreen. This morning, I've got on a sweater, jacket, toque, and scarf. As I mount my stiff bike and head for Walmart for groceries and a pair of light winter gloves, thinking less of leaves and scarlet, red, and amber yellows, and more of what's to come. The white fur of a polar moon outside my warm bedroom window, split in half by the telephone pole, the seasons divided. My white air conditioner on the floor, unsure of where to go. In form.
Oh, I just love this. The season divided. Yeah, sometimes it's warm, sometimes it's cold. You don't know what to do with the air conditioner anymore. just love, love, love this. And what did you think, Diane?
Well, you know what? The stanza that stood out for me here, it was because of the imagery. It's just like it took me breathless. The way I could picture the white fur of a polar moon outside my warm bedroom window, split in half by the telephone pole, the season divided. How metaphorically is it impossible is that to be able to describe the season divided like a telephone pole standing in front of the moon? You know, that is just so clever, so creative, so well done, Ken, amazing.
Absolutely, yeah, it is, eh? So clever, and you know, it goes right along with the title too, the season divided. Just amazing. And Miriam, your thoughts?
I was struck the same way with stanza five about the moon. I could just imagine myself looking out the window and seeing that. I mean, it's one of the things that I just do is to position myself in my head so that something that I'm looking at is divided by something else. So that was really neat. And just the image of the moon itself, the white fur, that's gorgeous. And then, of course, I love the humor of the end, the air conditioner, just that the phrase air conditioner is... It's so unexpected in a poem. That's great.
Yeah. Unsure where to go. Where do you put it? Yeah, the personification of the air conditioner is so funny there. He's so funny. And a clever finish for sure. And Ed, what did you think of Ken's poem?
Well, I liked how he described the elements of weather from the beginning of being, you know, in a tank top, going down and then getting cold, wearing gloves, and then the leaves falling. He'd done a wonderful job explaining this in detail. And then the white fur of pool moon is beautiful, and polar moon. And, you know, it and then he says it's a season divided. And you just think about it, how he explained it. Once the leaves are gone, that's the divide, and then the snow starts. And everything there will be winter and then spring again. And that's like the middle right there. It's beautiful. And you think about it, that's when the change of everything starts with life, especially with the animals, of how they live. Well done.
Wonderful comment. And where are we going next? I almost said Katie. Diane?
We are going to an amazing write by Lulu G. It's called Before Winter, and I would like to read this. And Naomi, please ask me to comment on this because I just read it.
Okay.
And it's amazing. Okay,
yeah.
It's called Before Winter. It's Earth surrenders harvest crops, fields of corn and strong limbed men, shoots and prospers, blooms and drops, tis the autumn here again. Apples, berries, baskets fill, apricots are turned to jam, trees and hedgerows overspill, pumpkin chutney, roasted ham, morning dew and pearly mist, there is much of earth to know, scent, sweet of scent still warmly kissed, winter beckons full of woe, end poem.
Oh, my gracious, what a wonderful write. Oh, how are we going to judge this contest? I know. I'll get you guys to judge it, and then I won't take any blame for it. How's that? Oh, my gracious, these are wonderful writes. Debbie, what did you think of this write?
Growing up on a farm out at my grandparents, I know this feeling, the apples, berries, baskets filled, apricots are turned to jam. Just, I remember that so well as a child, and to be able to relive that in this piece, loved it, loved it, loved it.
Absolutely. I grew up on part-time on my great-grandmother's farm, too, on Prince Edward Island, and yeah, it was just like this. What about you, Katie? What did you think?
Oh, yes, lovely, absolutely lovely. I love the element of surrealism and, you know, otherworldly, and above all, Earth is wonderful and autumn's wonderful. But you get that first two lines I loved. Earth surrenders harvest crops, fields of corn, and strong-limbed men. Now, that's what I'm talking about. Fabulous. But beautifully written. It's everything. I actually feel inspired and hungry, which is a very odd combination. Yeah. I thought it was beautifully done. And thank you so
we
much
will,
for sharing.
We will ask you hungry for what? Which one, Katie?
No, you probably better.
And Diane, your thoughts.
Oh my God, that was funny, Naomi. That was funny. Before, you know what? This piece took me. It just blew me away because it's a well-deserved front page pick. It captures everything in the wording, starting out with Earth surrenders harvest crops. You know, what a way to start out. Earth gives up its crops and fields of corn and strong-limbed men. The imagery in that is just powerful. And I noticed, you know, this was registered in 5 contests and it placed in 4. It's like, no doubt this piece, if this showed up in one of my contests, I'd have to give it a gold. It's just amazing, right? And one of the ones I don't tag often, but I have to tag this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it has everything in it, doesn't it? Oh, my gracious.
Mm-hmm.
It's packed full of just what autumn is, you know, the pumpkin, the roasted ham, you know, the pearly mist. Everything is right there, you know, the apples, the berries, the jam. Yeah, yeah, everything. It's just overspilling with all this autumny feeling to it. Just a wonderful, brilliant write by Lulu G. And I hope we see more of you, Lulu G, in our contest.
Yes.
And what will be our next write, Diane?
Well, next up is a poem by Kim436, and it's called Sweater Weather. I think I'm going to enjoy this. And Naomi, would you like to read this one for us?
Of course. Okay. Sweater weather. Autumn's embrace, warm, cozy sweater, soft and snug, chill in the air lingers. Ah, isn't that sweet? Oh, that's so well worded and well done. And I don't know how many. Well, it's an haiku, but so, you know, 12, 13 words? A really amazing, right? I might guess it takes, it just has this cuddly, snuggly, you know, feeling, you know, you just want to wrap yourself inside of it. Just amazing. And Miriam, what did you think of this little write?
Well, I can't help thinking a sweater is something you wear when your mother is cold.
Yeah. That's so true.
That is true. Honestly, this is so beautifully condensed and well stated that the temperature and what you do about it. And it's, you know, autumn is sweater weather. You wear a sweater so you won't get too cold, but take off if it's too hot. And very enjoyable poem.
Absolutely. And Debbie, what did you think?
as a person that wears sweaters every day of the fall, I love this. This was a really good write. Great job.
That's a wonderful comment there, Debbie. And Katie, are you a sweater girl?
I sure am. I sure am. There's nothing nicer. Oh, my. But, yes, this is, again, beautiful. 13 words, and we have what autumn actually is. Cozy, soft, snug, and there's always that chill in the air. I love that. Because the air is so much, I don't know, sweeter, lighter, airier, I don't know, cleaner. It's just lovely. Where I live, I'm surrounded by trees, trees, and more trees. So the air is particularly beautiful. So I go outside and breathe a lot. That's what I say. Beautifully done. Beautifully done, Kim. I really enjoyed this. Very clever and, yeah, sweet. Thank you.
Absolutely. I'm more of a hoodie girl, to be honest. I have a few sweaters, but, you know, I go around in my big oversized hoodie, you know, just hanging out. My torn jeans and oversized hoodie. Yeah. And then my granddaughter say, "You're so cool, Grandma." Anyway. So what will our next poem be, Diane?
Well, first off, I just want to say I totally am with you, Naomi. I'm a hoodie girl, too. I have a couple hoodies left from when I dropped 185 pounds. And honest to God, they are my best hoodies because they're so huge on me and they wrap mm-hmm. me up in this cloak. It's amazing. Anyways, after that, I'll tell you, I put up Unperturbed by Hina, and Ed, I am ready for you because I posted it in Late Night Poets, too.
Well, I got on that page, too, so I'm on the Perturbed. Autumn falling, hear the moan, softest sighing into water. In elegance, she takes her throne, a fleeting royal daughter, draped in crimson finery that winter white will slaughter and palm.
Wow, what a beautiful read, Ed. My gracious, you really brought out all the essence in this poem. This is a really powerful poem. Wow, you know, she really personified autumn here, you know, that takes her throne and she's slain by the winter white. In the end, you know, it's almost like a princess, I don't know, some kind of, or a queen there, you know, that her reign has come to an end. Just amazing, witty, right? What did you think, Katie?
Yes, I agree. This is so clever. And you think of it, you're immediately drawn to the fact that autumn, in its elegance, it just decides that I'm going to take my throne. I have every right to, even though it's a fleeting visit, and winter will, as it says, winter white will slaughter. I will be proud and I will show all of my beauty. And I think that's wonderful. I really enjoyed it. A real cry to being what you really want to be and enjoying it. So, yeah, beautiful.
Absolutely. Wonderful comment there, Kate. And Miriam, what did you think? Miriam, are you still with us? Oh.
Here.
Hello?
I am. I had to step out for a minute.
Oh, no problem. Did you get
this? Better go on to the next person because I haven't seen this poem.
Okay, no problem, Miriam. And Diane. What about you? What did you think of this poem?
Well, what a neat little brevity about autumn, unperturbed. You know, to be able to take autumn and not be perturbed by it, losing it, and it
falling into the water, and then to compare Autumn to a fleeting royal daughter, draped in crimson finery that winter white will slaughter. The rhyming and the meter and the based on our show of a little says a lot. This poem has it all in there, and just written in 20 words or 20 something words, just an amazing write, a beautiful brevity.
Amazing comment there, Diane. And Debbie, what are your thoughts? Did I ask you, Debbie? I'm all lost
No.
here.
I then okay. went to the next poem. Hold on, I got it. I loved the drape in crimson finery. That that line alone stood out above all. But this is a beautiful, beautiful piece. All in all, but that one line stands out.
Absolutely, yeah, I like that line too. And Ed, your thoughts?
Oh, it was beautiful. It starts out, you know, autumn being calm, and then the leaves falling, floating down like a stream. It's very elegant, soft. And then all of a sudden, the change into the crimson finery, that winter white will slaughter. That's a rough one, thinking winter. I'm thinking up in Canada there, but it was beautiful how they explained everything there.
Yeah, me and Diane, we know about that slaughtering winter, don't we, eh, Diane?
Well, we certainly do.
Oh, my gracious, the wind. Oh, boy. Yeah, it just cuts into you, and yeah. And so we have our next write-up, eh, Diane?
We do. It's called Autumn Riches by Dot Writes, and I believe I haven't asked Weaver to read. Now, is she still with us?
Yes, I am.
Alrighty, then you're up.
Thank you so much. So this is Autumn Riches by Dot Writes. Buried in the golden, burnished copper coins, clinking rustle as flaming foliage, abundant adoration to verdant earth. End poem. Beautiful.
Yeah, beautiful indeed. Beautiful read there, Katie. I just love the copper coins clinking rustle. I just love that metaphor there. It's just amazing. What did you think, Miriam?
I really like the way the title flows into the poem. Autumn Riches Buried in the Garden. It works really, really well here. And there are many trees that have round leaves, so I think the burnished copper coins works very well. Very well done, poem.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, it's true. Yeah, there are. I can't think of one right now, but there are leaves with round leaves. Maybe Ed knows some with some of them. What did you think, Ed?
Oh, they're all colors. There's some that are round, but buried in the golden burnished copper coins. That's beautiful. All through this poem is a lovely and the abundant adoration to verdant earth. You know, that's lush and luxury and fertile. It can mean of how all this falls to earth and it basically fertilizes it. It makes it live from the end of that line there. So I love that.
Absolutely. Wonderfully said there, Ed. And Debbie, your thoughts, my dear.
Yeah, I agree with Ed. The abundant adoration to verdant earth. But you can't have life without death. And so autumn is going into winter, and you can't have the next spring without that death. And so that's kind of where I went with that. And I thought it was a beautiful poem.
Yeah, absolutely. Wonderfully set there. And where are we going next, Diane?
Okay, that was Autumn Riches, and I am a little bit behind here. So where am I going next? Because I can't find what is up next. Did you want one to go up, Naomi?
We have Debbie's poem there at the end, but maybe that was the one that you already had?
No, I was looking for Debbie's poem, and I can't see it on the board.
I put it up.
Okay,
well, thank you.
I cannot see it on my board.
Maybe this
it was added at the bottom.
Yeah, I see the last poem I have on the bottom is Forever Autumn by T. Perry. I cannot find Debbie.
Oh, it's okay. She added it later, so you just need to refresh. Yeah. It's okay.
I'll try.
As long as it's there.
And I refreshed and I got it. Let me post it. There we go. There it is. Oh, you put it up there. Okay.
Yeah, I put it up.
All righty, Debbie, it's your turn, girl.
Mine's not an autumn poem. It's something different, but we'll go with it. Healing. This time of night is the hardest. In peace you go, in pain I live. You were a beautiful, sad man, but I was okay with that. Mines and booby traps keep me on my toes. Letting you go the hardest, letting you remain my purpose. I strive daily to just survive without you. I'm sorry. I beg the gods to keep my sanity. Damned is the unholy. Believing not what is promised, but what I see. Setting on fire my life as I keep you alive in my heart. Knowing you kicked hell's door wide open, my only solitude. Grief ends when healing begins. End poem.
We feel all your emotion as you're reading that, Debbie. No, that's really...
Yeah, it's very, very fresh. Very fresh.
Yeah, that's really heart-wrenching. And again, you know, my heart goes out to you, you know. My most sincere condolences, you know, to you and what you went through.
You.
It was really hard. And Diane, would you like to comment, please?
Yes, absolutely. Debbie, what a beautiful right healing, and everything you have in here touches your heart. It touches my heart. I feel the emotion and I read the emotion in it, and I go with the emotion in it, because we all have gone through that loss, and that grief does end when healing begins. And sometimes that journey takes us forever to get to the healing and the grief ending part. But you seem to have captured your healing beginning when you say, knowing you kicked hell's doors wide open, my only solitude. That was an amazing line to end on, like perfectly, perfectly set. Well done, my friend.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And before I go on, Diana, I just sent you a message. And okay, Katie, yeah. Katie, you want to comment, please, my dear?
Of course. I can only say I think all of us understand exactly what you're going through. And I know people keep saying time will heal. And I'm sure eventually it does, but it's very hard. And I really, really, I really understand the pain.
He was my best friend.
Oh, my goodness. That's, I lost my... I only had
my life.
Yeah, I only ever had one friend, and I lost her. So I know, I mean, this is different for you, obviously, more, far more intense, but I understand how that feels. And it's hard to be brave and it's hard to be strong, but don't be afraid to cry because you need to get that pain
out. Oh, no. I've done my fair share.
Yeah, I can understand. Beautifully written and very brave of you to share that with us. But people now know that they're not alone, and you know, we can all help each other by just being more positive, I think. So thank you.
Thank you very much.
And Miriam, would you like to comment, my dear?
Well, it's just a totally heartbreaking poem. When I was in counseling class 40 years ago, they taught me never to say, I know how you're feeling, because everybody's feeling something different. And the point is to hear how the other person is feeling. And that you have expressed very well, Debbie.
Thank you.
I am curious about the very last line, that grief ends when healing begins. Has that, if I may ask a personal question, has that been your experience?
I'm sorry?
Has it been your experience that grief ends when healing begins?
Well, this last year has been very, very hard. I've lost a set of granddaughters, twin granddaughters. I lost my grandmother.
Oh,
I lost a very, very close family member, and then I lost my fiancé. So you can hear the shakiness of my voice. I mean, it's this last year has been living hell, excuse my language, but I mean, it's been bad. So it just seemed like every time I was getting a little bit easier to breathe and easier to, you know, to go on, it was something more and just a little bit more and just a little bit harder and a little bit closer. And so when I lost him, I almost broke. I gotta admit, I almost I'm still not as you could tell, but yeah, my grief, the healing part is what's making the grief easier
there. Yeah. But I'm glad to hear that for you. It sounds as if you've been in a war zone.
Yeah. It's not been easy.
Absolutely. Would you like to say a few words, Ed?
Oh, yeah. I've had the same situation happen, and it never goes away.
No.
And it's always in the back of your mind. But sometimes what really helps is you think of some of the good things that you did together. And once you start thinking about that, you know, my mother and father died in my arms. And I don't think of that anymore. Funny. But what I do think of is the things that we did and the fun times. And that seems to really help out a lot. But this is very emotional. It's very emotional. So.
Thank you.
Yeah, I hope writing about it helps you. You know, helps the heal a little bit, Debbie. Yeah, you know, I really do.
Yeah, that's what's really helped is the writing. It's just been very hard to write.
I know. Yeah. And what was so, my condolences. I can't say that word again, Debbie. And
Yeah, sorry for your loss. And what will be our next poem, Diane?
Well, we have an awesome piece up next. But before I post this, I just want to say, Debbie, I have not experienced that much loss in my life. And I think people who have are some of the strongest people in the world. And I'm just sending you a hug to wrap you in an autumn hug. And just keep healing and keep writing, because that's where the healing starts for me. And up next is a piece called Whispering Winds by our Twisted Mister, Ed. Would you like to go ahead and read this
sure.
one, please?
Yes, I will. Whispering Winds. Wispy winds whispering to the mingling trees, like the sound of laughter flowing in the breeze. Green foliage to brilliant yellows, golds, and browns, deep crimson reds, purples, and blazing orange leaves, a marvelous transformation deep into nature's artistry. Of the many lands that are charmed with legendary folklores, these stories are often humorous, electrifying, and eerie, that we much adore. And if you carefully listen to the woodland sing, a reflection of life's yesteryear they may bring. And poem.
Yes. Amazing poem, Ed. The wispy winds whispering to the mingling trees, like the sound of laughter flowing in the breeze. That just beautiful, that opening line. Well, what did you think, Diane?
I just thought this was beautifully wrapped together with the alliteration in this first line, wispy winds whispering to the mingling trees. You grab us immediately from your title to your first line, and that's what they say is the breakout of a poem. You catch a reader in your first, in your title and your first line, and you did that amazingly. And then you brought out the colors and the yellows, the golds, the browns, and then you also touch on the imagery of our senses of the sound with the blazing orange leaves. The transformation you described couldn't be described a better way. You did beautifully here. Awesome, right?
Oh, thank you.
Absolutely. You know, and you bring it to another level too, you know. You bring in the legendary folklores, which, you know, with a Halloween and with that autumny feeling, you know, you have those legends. Folklore, I think they're more present somehow, and so you touch on that. It's wonderful. And Miriam, what are your thoughts?
Oh, I really like the third stanza of this one, the many lands charmed with legendary folklores, and the different kinds of fairy stories. I mean, I was brought up on fairy stories, but I've been listening to them and reading them recently and just really been struck by the tremendous difference there is from one to another. Some of them are absolutely screamingly funny. And then again, like this, the ones that just capture your imagination, and then some that are really scary. So I think he's did that very, very well.
Thank you.
Wonderful comment. And Katie, what do you think?
Oh, yes. Sorry, I was muted. Well, if anybody has heard me before, you understand how much I love the wind. It's a companion. It's something that lulls me to sleep, but eventually I do sleep. I thought it was beautiful. Deep.
Thank you.
It was. I love the colors. It's something beautiful about imagining these leaves and all these beautiful colors. I love that first line. The alliteration is so cool. Not too much either. Makes it, you know, because that sometimes makes it difficult for your brain to capture the meaning that, you know, but wispy winds whispering to the mingling trees, like the sound of laughter flowing in the breeze. It just lovely. It just brings that whole thing to life for me, because I'm thinking about the trees and the wind going through and the legendary folklores. Yeah, I love that as well. Yeah, we all have our different folklores. Funnily enough, if you look into them, I think you'll find that most of them have a common denominator. They have a thing in common with every country. There's always been vampires and werewolves and ghosts and ghoulies and fairies and in all their various forms. And I thought that was lovely. Yeah, thank you so much for sharing.
Oh, sure. It seems like the fall brings out these folklores and legendary.
Yeah.
And, when you're sitting in the tree and you're thinking of this, it comes to mind of all what could happen around you. And it's pretty neat.
Definitely. I like the thought of you sitting in a tree. I once tried to climb a tree in Edinburgh's Botanical Gardens, because I love trees, and I got chucked out. I was thrown out. Get up that tree. Oh, okay. Yeah. And the last time I wrote about a tree, I fell out of that tree and was attacked by a band of zombies. So I wonder why I like trees so much. I love.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And Debbie, what are your thoughts, my dear? Is Debbie still with us, or did she leave?
I am. I just wait for a moment.
Oh, okay. did you get to hear Ed's poem?
I did not. I apologize. I just
wait. Okay. That's okay, Debbie. So did everybody get to comment? I think so, eh? That was a wonderful one.
I apologize, Ed. I didn't read it or hear it.
That's fine. That's okay.
So what will be our next poem, Diane?
Okay, next up we have Of Things to Come by David Meyerhoff. And I'll go ahead and give this a read. The beauty of the fall leaves layering over the common oak trunk, shelving away smells of pungent decay that excite the pull of the senses. Change messages sent to hunker down into the twilight of balmy and the dawning of cold that is emboldened in the dreaded world, winter. End poem.
Oh, you know what? This makes me think of the Game of Thrones, the ice world. Yeah, I don't know what. And you know what? This is a poem for Katie. Oh, yeah. I'm swinging it right at you, Katie.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Wow. Beautiful. Of things to come. It's a thought, isn't it? Really, I don't think to the future much at all, but of course people have to think what's ahead. And then you have this last stanza, which it brings everything to life and together. Change messages sent to hunker down into the twilight of balmy and the dawning of cold that is emboldened in the dreaded world winter. It makes it sound so ominous. Well, I'm getting my big fur coat out. Definitely. Oh my. Yes, beautifully done. I really enjoyed it. It had this intensity. I don't know if anybody else felt it, but there was this such intensity. It made me really think. And it did pull at the center. So very well done. Thank you, David.
Absolutely. And another person I think that would be interested in this is Ed. What did you think, Ed?
Well, the smell of the pungent decay is that's true. You could really smell it in the woods when it gets bad. But I really like, you know, the last stanza, you know, you hunker down into the twilight of the balmy and the dawny of the cold. That could be romantic also. It doesn't have to be harsh, even though at the end it says a dreaded world winter. But that could be a very romantic night in the winter.
Mm-hmm.
So I enjoyed it. Yeah.
Unless you're sitting in a snowbank somewhere.
Well, yeah, you don't want to do that.
Right, Diane?
Yep, that's right, my girl.
What did you think, Miriam, of this poem?
I'm thinking that probably when he says the common oak trunks, is actually a kind of oak tree called the common oak. And I like that. It's not just, oh, well, it's an ordinary oak tree. It's an actual kind of tree that he's mentioning. That's my guess. And then the thing of, as other people have said, a bolded and a dreaded world winter. That's very, yeah, it could be considered spooky. It could be considered, oh, now we've got to prepare ourselves. It could be considered, let's move closer to the equator.
Yeah, I like that you brought out that name of the oak tree. And yeah, that's an awesome comment there, Miriam. And Debbie, your thoughts?
I go back to the Game of Thrones.
Yeah,
I love
exactly.
It. I did love it. I mean, you hunker down into the twilight of balmy and the dawn of cold. You know, it kind of makes me think of a late fall picnic, you know, where you're sitting out on the riverbank or somewhere, you know, with your man or on a big blanket, you know, just curled up together. And so I loved it. I loved it. Beautiful done.
Absolutely. Wonderful comment. And what is our next write, Diane?
Well, Naomi, our friend Anne, Queen Anne, has been on the board with us all night. So I have posted her piece, and I hope she's still with us. It's called Autumn. And would you like to read that, Naomi?
Okay, so this is Autumn. Autumn is a time when all the leaves from deciduous trees go red, yellow, orange, and brown. This makes some people wear a frown. Then the leaves from deciduous leaves from the trees fall. At Halloween, the children dressed as witches, wizards, vampires, and ghosts trick or and treat call. This is also a time when farmers their harvest reap. If it has been poor, they sometimes weep. It's also a time when it gets cold and dull, when people start to wear clothes made of wool. They do this to keep them warm. We have the occasional storm. Oh, yeah, that's for sure. What a wonderful write. I love that you went through, you know, from the color to Halloween, you know, to the harvest, the weather, the clothes. You know, she covered so much in this little brevity. It's just amazing. What did you think, Debbie?
I loved it. You know, the time made of wool, you know, because that does make you think you're going into the winter months. And, yeah, we have the occasional storm. So just a beautiful write, Miss Anne. Beautiful write, babe.
Absolutely. Wonderfully written, Anne. And, Ed, what did you think of it?
Oh, it was a beautiful poem, a little bit taste of everything. Leading up to winter, the metaphors were wonderful. How she went through Halloween and then the harvesting, and then where it really gets cold, and then and then the occasional storm. It was wonderful. It was the whole season of that time that she explained. It was really nice.
Absolutely. And let's have a last comment. I'd like to get another write in. Diane, what are your thoughts? Did I ask you?
No, you didn't. Yeah, it's a great brevity on autumn. Really captures Halloween, which is my favorite time of year at this time of year. And captures the colors, the costumes, the essence of the power of Halloween, because Halloween does have a certain power in it in itself. And this poem reaches out to people of all, like farmers and children and all people. It reaches out and touches on everyone during the season. You know, it's just a beautiful write. Really, really well done.
Absolutely. Wonderfully said there. And Katie, one last comment from you, dear.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, beautifully done. I really enjoyed it. It, as you say, takes us through the whole of that month so wonderfully. Very well done. Yeah, thank you for sharing.
Wonderful comment. And what will be our next round, Diane? Oh, my gracious.
Next up, we have Colors of Autumn by Sujatha Five. And Miriam, would you give that one a read?
Colors of Autumn. Slowly, slowly she touches the earth. When the ray strikes through, when this cold air descends early morn, when the hearts of mirth gently bloom, when colors of ribbon float, when petals of warmth open, bosom flutters, skates frequency the golden arms of her. Benevolence brings millions of smiles, carpets of brown spread, my hand stretched to catch the rusty leaves. When I wish to fly, fly high, wings of freedom, when my moon will shine for me, oh, autumn, walk with me, be my comrade.
Wonderfully read, Miriam. And Katie, what did you think of this poem?
Oh, lovely. I really thought it was so gentle. I love that first stanza. Slowly, slowly she touches the earth when the ray strikes through, when the cold air descends, early morn, when the heart of mirth gently blooms. Beautifully done. Thank you so much for sharing.
Wonderfully said there, Katie. And one last comment, Diane. What did you think of this poem?
You know what? She did justice to the colors of autumn here. She just wrapped us up in the colors of autumn, and wonderfully written with beautiful imagery, colors of ribbon floats. And I imagine that ribbon to be clouds and whatnot floating in the sky, and petals of warmth open, bosom flutter, skates frequency. Just amazing, right? Beautifully done. And there was something about this one. It gave me the warmth. I don't know if it was the imagery, but it just gave me a warmth of autumn. And that it's okay, autumn is here. And first time I felt love for autumn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it gave me a mixture of two songs. Dancing in the Rain and Fly Me to the Moon.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It really give me a mixture of those two songs, this poem. Beautifully written. Yeah, so we have we're almost at 9 o'clock. So, yeah, this has been a wonderful, wonderful show. I want to thank Miriam so much for phoning in, my dear. And Debbie, thank you so, so much. And, you know, and Katie, thank you. You're always, always welcome, sweetheart. We just love you. And, yeah, thank you to my two co-hosts, Tuk, Ed, and Diane, for always being there. And thank you for everybody who wrote for the show. We so, so appreciate you so much. And, yeah, and with that, well, I just want to say good night to everybody.
Good night.
Good night, guys.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, guys.